Tough Talk, amazing last weekend. On the back of them, we have decided that we're actually going to, for how long it lasts, we're not sure, but we're going to talk about tough talks, about those things that are the tough things in our Christianity. Today I'm going to look at a number of things. Next week Bo's going to look at some of the tough things that Jesus said, because some of the things Jesus said, you go, yo, what? The following Sunday, I'm going to look at marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And you know what? Because we've got to look at things that are tough subjects around. And other things that are going on. It's not going to give you permission, Val, to divorce Mick, but that's not what we're talking about. Shame. Don't have to have permission, okay. Ooh, okay. Maybe I'll back you up then, Val, if that's his attitude, yeah. And various things like that, you know, some of those things that are really tough cookies to grab hold of that often we're not prepared to grab hold of them. So it's cool. So Father, I thank you for the greatness of whom you are. I thank you for your love that you show towards us. Lord, that you never give up. I'm amazed that you don't give up on me. Because if I was you, I would have given up a long time ago. But I thank you, Lord, that you are good and merciful. And give you thanks, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to look at four things this morning that I've either said or thought myself or I've heard from others over the years say in various ways and various forms. The first one is this. I've heard this and I've most probably said it myself too. It seems that my life has not always gone the way I expected it. I expected it would be better. Being a Christian, I thought it would be a lot easier and it would have gone a lot better and things would have been different. Number two, I pray with faith, but God doesn't do what I ask. Anybody? Number three, I seek him, but I don't feel his presence. I used to get so guilty about that. I'm not really a Christian then, am I? Oh, if I don't feel like, look at them, they're crying and carrying on, and and obviously I'm not really a Christian, or God doesn't really love me because I don't really feel him like that. And number four, I'm going through pain, but my cries for relief seem to go unanswered. That can be emotional pain, physical pain, whatever it is. And it just, we call out in those midst, and it sometimes it just seems like there's no answer, there's no change to it. So I want to have a look at those this morning. So number one is this. It seems that my life has not always gone the way I expected it. Anybody can go, put their hand up and go, it doesn't, I thought it would be a little different to this. Yeah? It's not fair. It's disappointing. God, I thought you were on my side. Things along those sort of things. According to a guy called David Rico, there are five things we cannot change. Number one is everything changes and ends. Number two, things do not always go according to plan. Anybody found that one out? Life is not always fair, number three. Number four is pain is part of life. Whether it be emotional, physical, mental, or whatever, pain is part of life. And number five, people are not loving and loyal all the time. Any of you found that one? You know what? The Bible doesn't promise that we will never have problems. There's no promises in the scripture that we will never have problems. But God makes us a powerful promise in this. He says this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And I'm going to touch on this again because there's some provisos to this. All things work together for the good of those who love him and are called to his purpose. Let's remind ourselves of the story of Ruth. We looked at Ruth a couple of months ago. Let's just remind ourselves just very quickly about her life. Her life didn't turn out the way I think she expected it to. So her husband, along with his brother and her father-in-law, had died after these tragedies. Her mother-in-law, Naomi, decides to return to the land of her birth. So Ruth and Orpah. That's how amazing Oprah is. She's been around a long time.
If anyone could afford time
Yeah, she could afford to invent time travel, yeah. And so these three women, they collect their belongings, they head off walking towards Bethlehem. A few hours into the journey, Naomi turns to Ruth and Orpah. She tells them to go back to their families. And Orpah kisses her mother-in-law and turns around and heads back. Grateful to return to her people, the only way of life that she's known, but Ruth decides to remain with Naomi. And right at that moment, her life wasn't what she expected. Naomi urges Ruth again to leave, and Ruth responds with these words, and I read this out of the Message translation. "Stop pushing me away, insisting that I stop following you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will also die and be buried there near you. May the Eternal One punish me, and even more so, if anything besides death comes between us." So she made a real commitment. Ruth made a real commitment to stick with Naomi through thick and thin. Naomi's life hadn't turned out how she thought it was going to. Now her attempt to send her daughter-in-law home hadn't gone the way she thought it might as well. So together they journey off to Naomi's hometown. Things are really tough for these two widows. There's no pension, there's no social welfare, there's no system in many senses of looking after. But inside of Judaic law, there was a kindness on them where foreigners, where aliens, where whatever people there were destitute, could go to the fields that were being harvested and pick the grain that was left on the ground or the wheat that was left on the ground. So for a long time, Ruth spends her days following behind the harvesters, picking up the stalks of fallen grain. Boaz, one of Naomi's relatives, notices Ruth and allows her to pick up some scraps in his fields. And I think those of us who were here during the series of Ruth know the story. And to say, cut it short, suffice to say that Ruth and Boaz marry. They have a child who has a child called David, who becomes King David, the king of Israel. You know what, the thing that encouraged me is Ruth could never have expected she would one day be the great-grandmother to a king. Everything works out for Ruth in the end. Here's some lessons to learn and remember when things seem to be really tough. Trust God anyway. We need to just trust God anyway. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 2 out of the Amplified Bible says this, "Behold, God, my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and song. Yes, he has become my salvation." So whatever, trust in him. Trust is a choice to believe in what he has to say, not what the things going on are saying at the present time. I've sent you full notes, by the way, so you don't have to get to, so you don't have to busily scribble down loads and loads of notes. Talking to Anthea. Anthea sends out stuff to the life group leaders every week, a pricey of the notes and stuff. So I send her notes, and sometimes she's busily trying to word for word write everything down. So rest. You know, when things go our way, we trust them anyway. When things don't go our way, we need to trust him anyway. When our plans aren't working, we should be trusting him anyway. Trusting God means believing he will keep his promises to us even when things don't make any sense at all. When we don't see things working out, we still believe God is still turning things in our favor. So don't give up believing him. Next one is this, give him time. Give God time. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, and part of it, he says, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Not our time, but his time. Time is on our side because God created time. And you know what? He is on our side. There's always enough time for God to work. There's always enough time for God to work. No matter what bad decisions we have made or what the enemy or life has stolen from our lives over the years, you know what? God can restore it. Be patient, give him time. In one moment, he can make up for years of loss or frustration in our lives. And guess what? This could be your moment. Today could be the day when he changes things and makes up for a whole lot of things you've missed out on life. Because guess what? He is God and we are not. God promises he will turn everything that happens in our lives into something good with a few provisos. And so I read the rest of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 out of the Amplified, and it says this: "And we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together." And we could stop there, but it goes on. It says this: "As a plan for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." Well, fortunately, he loves us, and he has called us to his plans and purposes. So guess what? You can trust in what he said here. So the second big point is this. The second one I've said and I've heard people say is, I pray with faith, but God doesn't do what I have asked. Anybody? Yeah? God, your word says that if I pray in the name of Jesus, yeah? Why isn't it happening then? Are you deaf? Don't you remember what you said in your scriptures? What is the problem? Have you ever prayed and felt as if your prayers weren't answered? Ever prayed and felt as if God simply didn't hear you, or even worse, isn't even interested in you? Therefore, so why bother? Just give up. He's not interested in me, is he? Because he's not even answering this simple prayer. Why should I be even? He's not interested in me. He's forgotten about me. So stuff this whole thing. I'm out of here. People do that. It's done. You know, we've all done it in different ways at different times. You know, the chances are that as believers, we've all been there or will be there one day, or perhaps even there this day. We may seriously seek God, but in return only senses silence. But this silence can be difficult, can be frustrating, can be painful, can be damn annoying, can really get your goat up. Is that a saying? Have I just made something? It is, yeah. You know what I mean. How about the story of Job, who was well familiar with God's silence? In his pain and suffering, he cried out to God. He asked for answers, and he kept on answering. He kept on asking. He just kept on asking of God. For the first 37 chapters of the book of Job, he cries out to God for help, but he's only met by God's deafening silence. Isn't that a funny thing, deafening silence? When it is an oxymoron, total oxymoron. As Christians, we are not always going to hear God's voice. Face it, face the fact, folks. You're not always going to hear God's voice. But from Job, we can learn a few practical things of what to do when God seems silent. Number one is this: we need to accept his sovereignty. Accept him. Recognize the fact that God can be silent. We think he can be. We think. There is no obligation for God to give us an answer, or even at the extreme, let us know anything. Tozer said this in the Knowledge of the Holy. He said, God is said to be absolutely free because no one or no thing can hinder him or compel him or stop him. He is able to do as he pleases, always, everywhere, and forever. Like us, Job faced a choice of acknowledging or rejecting the sovereignty of God. Accepting God's sovereignty also means actively trusting him, realizing that he is in control and that he can be trusted no matter how we feel or how things are looking. Nothing in Job's life or ours happens apart from God's knowledge and plan. I thought it was an old song. There was a song I thought was an old song, and it goes, "Trust and obey, there is no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey." It is a song, but it's not an old song. It's a Don Moen song from about 2012. All right. Trust and obey. It is an old hymn. It is an old hymn. You're right. Okay, I'm preaching. You're not, okay? Thank you, everyone, for correcting me on that. Trust and obey, there is no other way. Yeah. That wonderful old Methodist hymn. See, we need to listen to what God is saying. Although God may seem silent regarding a specific request or petition, remember that He is always in a constant state of communication with us. He is always in a constant state of communication. It's just maybe not at times what we think it should be, or we're not listening. There's more than hearing God with our ears. There is hearing God by reading His Word. In fact, it is possible that we may already have an answer from God, but we may not want to acknowledge it also. Don't forget to look at God's Word, His written communication to us. It's never, ever silent. His Word is never, ever silent to us. To find answers to what we may be facing on the questions we may be asking. You know what, here's just this really simple thing to do. If you're asking God, God, I need some advice, I need some help in things. So Lord, as I read the scriptures, Holy Spirit, talk to me, reveal things to me as I read these scriptures. And if you're a person who has a mind that goes ding, ding, ding all over the place, have a little notebook and just write in the notebook. Just make a little note. When I read that, this is what God said. This is what I think that scripture is saying to me. And our I think is most probably God saying, this is exactly what it is. What'd you say? Perhaps. Perhaps. As we read the Bible, ask Him. Often verses can have a new significance in the light of what we may be going through or asking. Don't ever stop talking to God. Just because God seems silent doesn't mean you should stop Him or stop praying. You should doubt Him or stop praying. God's silence isn't justification for us. God's seeming silence isn't justification for us to turn our backs on Him. Instead, it's an invitation to press forward and seek Him even more diligently. Remember this, God is in control and has been all along. He's been in control. You know, I think most of us will never know how the twists and turns in our lives have made an impact on eternity. However, He knows. He knows. Third big one is this one. I seek Him, but I don't feel His presence. Anybody? I don't feel His presence. I seek Him, I ask for it, but I don't feel His presence. Can't feel God. You know, don't worry. Experiencing God is really way more than just a feeling. See, the separation between God and man has now been broken. And for anyone who wants to approach God can do so. But the reality is this. We won't always feel like we are in the presence of God. That's the reality of my experience anyway. There will always be days as a Christian that we will struggle with the idea that God has left our presence. But God's presence has very little to do with actually feeling things. There is some current popular suggestion, even teachings that say it's totally vital to have a feeling of God's presence that will make you cry, laugh, dance, sing, feel good, or so on. And without any of these being experienced, the question also is asked, and the suggestion made that do you really then know God if you haven't experienced Him? Like that. See, recognition of the truth that we need God to forgive our sin is the truth of the gospel rather than just feeling His love. He is a whole lot more than a mere experience, but at the same time, it's still great to have an experience. But let's not center our Christianity on just feeling something. See, we are called to dwell in God's presence forever, not just on Sundays or in the mornings or when we read our Bible or when we listen to our favorite worship song, but rather every single moment of our lives. We are with God when we're at home. We are at God when we go to work. We are with God when we hop on the train. When you're with God when you drive your car to work. You're with God when you are on holiday, when you're in the kitchen cooking, when you're washing your car, whatever you're doing. We are with God. He is with us. God is there all the time. But the greater reality is this, do we actually acknowledge Him there? Do we pull Him close as such? Sometimes we get stuck in the feeling that, or the thinking that we have to feel okay for God to come in or be there. that he is turned off somehow by us not feeling okay. You know, it's simply not true. I know that's talking to somebody this morning. When I wrote it down, I thought that's a bit unusual, but I know that's talking to somebody this morning. Being in God's presence has very little to do with actually how we feel. We can feel totally rubbish, totally depressed. Everything is totally black in our lives. It makes no difference to the way that God feels about us. His attitude towards us, his love towards us, his overwhelming compassion that he has for us. You know, and it's not hard to draw some parallels between the sense and idea of an experientially, emotionally centered Christianity with that of a one-night sexual stand. Listen to me. I don't mean to offend anybody when I say this. We want the emotional high without putting in the time to build up to a real and meaningful relationship. That's the basics thing of a one-night stand. People hunger for an emotional experience, something that goes, oh, yes, that feels really good. And inside of that, wanting to shortcut or to delight and joy and elation when you just want to have sex with any old stranger, you're actually wanting intimacy without the patience and work of a relationship. And that's what being close to God is about. It's about the work. You and I need to put the work in to have relationship and intimacy with him. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 24 says this, "Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord?" See, we serve an omnipresent God. That is, he is always present. Always present. He's not more present at some times and less than others. He's not here one day and gone the next day. He doesn't just sort of stop by church on a Sunday morning because the worship is really good or we're having great worship. He doesn't suddenly pay attention when we say, "Our Father in heaven," like some sort of genie that we magic up, that we say the right words and suddenly he appears. He doesn't come and go, but it's more than our awareness and focus. But it's more that our awareness and our focus on him waxes and wanes. Those times when we feel God's presence are not when he is nearer, but rather when we notice that he is there. We must ensure that we don't fall into the trap of allowing our faith to become something that is feeling-based. Nothing wrong with feeling, nothing wrong with feelings, but we mustn't be led by them. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says this, "We walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises." So the fourth one is this, "I'm going through pain, but my cries for relief seem to go unanswered." All had days, maybe even years, when life doesn't seem to be going our way. Just seems to be, things seem to be wrong all the time. I've had seasons of my life when I felt nothing was working and everything was out of whack and out of kilter. I've had frustrating days where I just can't seem to get anything accomplished. Nothing seems to go right. I feel black and miserable and a grumpy. And why, God, don't you just come along and sort this whole mess out for me and make me feel good, for goodness sake? Struggles in life are inevitable, but destruction is optional. Here are four principles, suggestions that can make a difference. We can't always control what happens to us, but we can always control how we choose to respond. In those moments when I choose to stop complaining, instead give thanks to God for the good in my life, the parts that seem bad start to seem much less significant. You know what? We need to choose to keep a good attitude, thankful heart, regardless of what we're going through. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 16 and 18 through to 18 says this, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in most situations, give thanks in all circumstances," if they're really good. Give thanks in all circumstances, full stop, no added on there, nothing. In all circumstances, in all situations. For this is God's will for you and I in Christ Jesus. Remember that struggle always leads to strength. There's this old saying, I remember when I used to train in the gym when I was young. There is no gain without pain. God, I believed them as well. Talk to those guys here last Sunday. They know what pain is when you are ripping muscles to make them bigger. The guys have big muscles because they rip their muscles with huge weights, actually tear the actual fibers of their muscles, lifting huge weights so that in the repairing of the muscle gets bigger. Then they tear those fibers again. That's how you get big and bulky. That's the way you do it for muscles. Every difficulty in our life, whether big or small, is something God will use to produce more strength, faith, and perseverance if we let Him do so. Embrace the reality somehow, in some way, our pain or your pain actually has a purpose. Yeah, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things, I've read it out, God works for the good of those who love Him, who love Him. Keep loving Him. Remember that God's timing is always perfect. God's plans are almost always different from our plans, but His plans are always perfect. Have the patience to wait on His timing instead of forcing our own. Jeremiah chapter 29:11 says this, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Remember that God will never leave our side. We may feel like we're going through this struggle all alone, but from the moment we ask Christ to bring us into His family, He will be our side to the end. So never, ever, ever lose hope. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 to finish off with says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So here's a little quick summary of all that. First one was this, it seems that my life hasn't always gone the way I expected. Trust God anyway. Give Him time. Second one was this, I pray with faith, but God doesn't do what I've asked of Him. Accept His sovereignty, listen to what He is saying, and don't stop talking to Him no matter what. Next one was this, I seek Him, but I don't feel His presence. Remember, it's not all about feelings. He is always with us. It's His very nature. And the fourth one was this, I'm going through pain, but my cries for relief seem to go unanswered. Excuse me. You know what? We always control how we respond to life. We need to remember that God's timing is always perfect and He will never leave our side. And maybe here's a prayer. Here's a suggested prayer that you might want to pray when life seems to be rough, not what you expect. Something like this, God, my life hasn't turned out the way I expected. At times I'm equally grateful, I'm tired, and I'm full of questions. Teach me, Lord, how to be my strength and weakness. Show me how to not be afraid of tomorrow, to believe you are in control. Remind me your grace is always enough. Meet me in my expectations. Fill me with joy, fill me with peace, and let my life brim over with hope. Provide me with what I need when I need it to make it through this. Give me the eyes I need to see how you are working everything out of my good, for my good. God, help me to be brave and not give up. Keep me looking to you when I feel like I can't anymore. May my eyes and heart always be expecting you to get here soon to revive me. May your strength be my song and my salvation. Amen. Amen. Father, help us. Amen.